Welcome to the Curious Tech Podcast. This is episode 167 for December 12th, 2021. Curious Tech Awakens! My name is Toby Henning. I'm joined this evening by Devin Rizzo.
What are we awakening to?
It's a Matrix reference.
Okay.
There's a new Matrix movie coming out, and Toby is... I am the hype.
I've still never seen the Matrix.
Whoa. How about this? Sometime this week, I will finally watch Real Steel, if you promise to watch at least the first Matrix movie.
You still haven't seen Real Steel?
No. I've been saving this in my back pocket for a moment like this.
You still haven't seen Real Steel, the all-time just like best robot movie ever?
No, I haven't. Came out in a weird time of my life. Missed it in theaters. The rights to it are kind of weird. I don't have normal cable, so, you know.
Streaming service isn't on.
I don't know. I'm actually opening up the TV app. So, yeah, this is kind of like, we're getting towards the end of the year. So, tech is kind of peter off until about CES, but we do actually have a surprising, I'm sorry, what was the name of that movie again?
Real Steel.
Real Steel. I was thinking Unreal Steel, like the Unreal Engine. Let's see. According to... Oh, I'm going to have to pay $4 to watch this movie.
I will give you the $4.
Well, it'll be worth it to make you watch The Matrix. So.
Wait. No, it's on Prime Video. Wait, no, it's $4.
Yeah, it's $4. It's fine. I need to watch it.
2012. What were you doing in 2012?
I would have been 22. So it would have been kind of close. It would have been like my, one of my final semesters at Spring Hill.
Okay, I forget that you're old sometimes. It was like 2012. I was in high school.
Yeah, I think it came out. Didn't it come out in like November or something like that?
Yes, because I remember I went and watched it after a tournament.
Yes. I
took like my entire robotics team went to go see the movie, and we brought the trophies with us to the movie.
We had you know, I mean, that came out around Thanksgiving time maybe. So yeah, that's like a real busy time if you're a student. And then I remember that year I got the flu right after Thanksgiving for like the last, you know, I mean, I had the flu for like the entire week of like final projects. So that was fantastic. So, but yeah, no, I've never seen Real Steel. So, that being said,
I will watch The Matrix, but you need to see Real Steel.
Okay. I have added it to my Apple TV queue. So next time I turn my Apple TV, it will harass me. Every time I turn the Apple TV on,
I'll watch it with you and give you my favorite. I'll give you commentary.
Oh gosh, you have a Mac that runs Monterey. I wonder if we could do like a share play session.
That, or you can make a Plex account and I can just invite you to it on my Plex server.
Oh no, but if we do the share play thing, like we could do like I could see your like reactions at the same time.
Tiny Mac isn't Monterey eligible.
Oh no.
It's too old.
And you don't have any iOS devices?
I do not.
Oh. Okay. Well, we'll figure this out.
Is this part of the reason why you want me to get an iPad?
I mean, no, I think you would enjoy the iPad. It's a really excellent device. So I feel like
how old is this thing again?
3 years old.
Say, you're living in the Valley, so.
Yeah, 3 years. Mm-hmm. 2 or 3. But I know that you get a lot of usage out of it.
Yeah, this thing kind of goes with me everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. All right. So, first story of the week is Microsoft is bringing back the weather widget on the Windows 11 taskbar. I think it's neat. that's kind of like the only widget I really cared about was seeing the weather. But I do hope that, like, I'm a big, like, menu bar app fan on macOS, and I would really like if, like, Microsoft let us, like, stick little widgets on the taskbar. Or maybe, like, have a separate bar called the menu bar up top. But, I mean, that's just too much. Crossing the beams too much.
I don't know. I will promptly disable this again.
Yeah, I mean, you can just turn off widgets in Windows 11, so.
Yeah, I'm just going to turn that off promptly.
I like how Microsoft does it. That's kind of like a slide over pane, because, like, I hate how macOS, like, does widgets and notifications in the same little pane now. It's super cluttered. Well, Max used to have a feature called Dashboard that was like a separate virtual desktop just for widgets. And, like, part of me feels like it's time to bring back Dashboard. So, because, like, the Mac gets a lot of the same widgets that, like, the iPad and iPhone have, so.
Mm-hmm.
There are actually a good number of, like, useful Mac widgets now, but they're all kind of, like, cluttered up on the right-hand side in the notification pane. So, it gets real messy real quick on the Mac, and it's very not Apple-like, so. Anyway, I thought that was kind of cool. All right, so, Microsoft's Xbox Windows app is, I would say, marginally more successful than Stadia is. It's still, like, a minority player in the gaming market. But, like, there's still, like, a small part of, like, Microsoft that would like to be, like, a Steam maybe eventually one day. I don't know. But, more importantly, the Xbox app is kind of like a host for Xbox Game Pass. So, not only can you stream games to it, but the Xbox Game Pass also lets you install certain PC games for Microsoft, like Forza or the new Halo game. So, if you go to install an app now, it'll actually kind of give your system a rating about how well it's actually going to run on your computer.
Boy, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. I think this is really useful because, like, it used to be, and it's been so long since I've been a PC gamer, but I mean, there's a very real possibility that you can buy a game that, like, does not perform well in your system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get that all the time with my students. They're like, I want to play this game. And I was like, okay. And they'll hand me their laptop. And I was like, you don't have a GPU. You are not going to be able to run Cyberpunk on this thing.
Well, your children should probably not be running Cyberpunk.
They're high schoolers.
Cyberpunk still has an 18+ rating. Because, there's modifiable genitalia on that game, Devin.
Fair.
So, maybe not a game high school kids should be playing.
I think it's fine for high schoolers. Below, like, a junior in high school, probably not. But, like, juniors and seniors, they're basically adults. It's fine.
Fair enough. All right, speaking of Windows 11 enhancements, Microsoft is, in the new Insider Preview has released the new version of Notepad.
Why is this just now a thing? Like, why is this just now a thing? This is why Notepad++ exists, because Notepad++ has dark mode, because Notepad doesn't.
I don't know. A lot of Windows 11 is, like, Microsoft, like, finally, like, cleaning up all the dusty bunnies out of Windows 10. And, yeah, this is one of them. Like, Notepad now has a dark mode and a better find and replace option. But, like, Notepad's, like, one of those applications that, like, you can't really add too many features to it before it ceases to be Notepad.
Mm-hmm.
So, I feel like they, like, walked up to that line and they were like, okay, hands off now.
Mm-hmm. All it needed is a slight change of color. That's it. We don't need any features. We don't need any online accounts. We don't need anything else. Just make it dark.
We got that now. So it sounds silly, but, like,
I guess I don't need Notepad++ anymore.
Yeah, that's one less install and one less security vulnerability to patch on your computer.
This is true.
So, a big part of my life is like trying to identify ways to cut down on the number of installable applications on people's computers, because it reduces the number of things we have to patch and maintain. So, all right.
This next story is kind of weird.
I love it.
From a standpoint of, hey, this screen is genuine. Oh, hey, the battery health is this. It's cool, but it also seems almost gatekeepy.
No. This was part of Apple's, like...
Or is this part of their new, like, right to repair thing?
Yes, yeah, part of their new right to repair thing. So that way, like, you know if the part you got is genuine or not.
Okay, that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, what is it that one coffee maker... that it won't make coffee unless you use their branded, like, little, like, pods.
Oh, God, what are they called again?
Have you got Nespressos?
Oh, no. Or is it Juicero that was like that?
Oh, it was Juicero.
Yes, and people found out, like, some entrepreneur journalists were like, hey, if you take the packets and you squeeze them real hard, you can actually get more juice out of them than the machine gets.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and there was there used to be some 3D printers a couple years ago that were like that too. You could only use their cartridges versus any other filament. It was like, false.
Yeah,
when that was just a generic roll of filament stuck inside of a plastic container.
No, I'm all for more like diagnostic on iOS, because Apple has a mentality of with their devices of, like, they fail silently, as opposed to Android, which fails verbosely. And Android has gotten a little bit like less chatty, but sometimes as, like, an Apple user, it's like, okay, so now we're gonna draw the summoning circle and try to divine what iOS is trying to tell us, or what the Mac is trying to tell us. Hey, you should reset the PRAM. What do you think that PRAM just resets everything? What? Just reset the PRAM. How did that work? I don't know. Just the PRAM. The PRAM has spoken. So, I'm all for more information.
Okay. See, no. When I read this at first, I was like, "Are they gonna like lock you out of your phone if you're not using a genuine battery or something?"
No, it's just I think warn you of. Giving people a loaded gun, going, okay, now Timmy, we can go and use this to hunt for deer, but don't stick your eye on it and pull the trigger. Sorry, I got real violent, real dark, real quick. I'm hungry now, so I'm getting hangry. All right,
we're only in like a quarter of the way through the show.
Oh, it's been so long since I've eaten. Apple Music's voice plan supposedly should be launching with 15.2, so if the amount of time it takes me to edit an episode is right, probably by the time you're listening to this podcast, the voice plan will be out. This is a real weird plan that's, exclusive to HomePods and Siri control, but, I don't know. I feel like they got the plan because Amazon got the plan, so they're offering the plan, and it's kind of like a good way to, like, get people into Apple Music. Really, this is, like, how my grandparents primarily interact with Spotify, so I can see for an entire class of people this being useful. There is part of me that would kind of like LTE or 5G built into AirPods.
Fair enough.
So, maybe, because, like, you know, everyone's talking about, like, the next big thing is going to be, like, smart glasses, but you stick, like, an LTE modem into, like, the case on some AirPods, or, like, the AirPod Maxes, that's actually, like, closer to reality in terms of, like, an augmented reality device than glasses are right now.
Mm. So, what, sync your playlist to your AirPods and go out and run with just your AirPods now?
It could be, because...
No watch, no phone, no wallet. Just AirPods.
Because, there are a lot of people that don't necessarily want an Apple Watch, or they don't have an iPhone, and you could build some of the health tracking stuff into the AirPods. I know Samsung a few years ago had some Galaxy Buds that would track your heart rate. So, interesting. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I could see some people that just want to go run with a pair of headphones and they can use like Siri to do different requests on it, kind of like you would an Apple Watch or a HomePod. Mm-hmm. So, it's interesting. I don't know if they'll ever actually do that, but if they did, this would be like a foundational feature for something like that. All right. Not quite an Apple story, but Apple does support this along with Amazon and Google. But the new Matter standard is actually working on a universal casting protocol. So maybe in future, if Amazon and Google and Apple all support this, this will be an alternative to AirPlay and Chromecast. That works with everything, and you don't have to go to a hotel room and go, hey, do I need to Google Cast this thing, or do I need to AirPlay this thing?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think it's pretty cool. I hope it works out, because I like to mix and match devices, and that's like the big appeal of Matter, is like you'll be able to, you know, have a HomeKit home, but still buy a Nest thermostat and not have to wait for Google to necessarily build HomeKit support into the Nest stuff. So look for more Matter stuff coming at CES this year.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So the Cybertruck.
Why are you laughing at the Cybertruck? Do I need to be a Tesla stan tonight?
No, I love the Cybertruck. It's fugly, but I still want one.
You're the like talk target audience for this car.
I really am. It's like, so fugly, but
you're like a dorky geek who like doesn't necessarily work out of their truck, but on the weekends or robot tournaments, you need to like tow stuff all the time, but maybe not all 8 hours a day.
Yeah, no, I'm not a construction worker. I don't want a contracting business, but when I need to haul a robot and all of its crap halfway across the state of Texas for the 27th time in 3 months.
I mean, yeah, you would have a frunk, a truck bed, trailer.
And this thing can pull.
Yes, because they also, Elon has confirmed that it's going to have four motors now.
Mm-hmm. Not just two.
Not just two, because the Ford F-150 Lightning, I think, has four. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be able to crab walk.
Yeah, no, let me tell you this. When both of your teams qualify for regionals, and regionals is 5 hours from home, the amount of stuff that travels across the state is a lot. When you've got 27 students plus two robots, two pits, giveaways, my God, we had to get a second truck.
So are you saying that in the next couple of years,
I buy a Cybertruck and brand it Rizzo Robotics and make it the official hauling truck for my robot teams? Yes, I will.
I can totally see you getting a skin.
Totally. If anyone from D Brand is here, go ahead and start working on skins for Cybertrucks. And by the time you're ready for it, I will have purchased my Cybertruck.
Oh no, wraps are totally a thing, Devin.
For Cybertrucks, though? I know they're a thing, but for Cybertrucks.
Oh, they will be the moment it becomes available, I guarantee you.
Okay, but the mentioning of the Cybertruck is fact, because the Cybertruck has a giant, I think this is like, what, a 4 foot tall windshield wiper?
It's so big. It is not the production wiper, but it's so large.
It is very large.
I don't know. That's not the production, but the internet's having a good time with it tonight. But more importantly, it has mirrors now.
Okay, mirrors are important for passing road tests.
Yeah, so we're getting closer. Maybe in 2022, we'll have a Cybertruck available.
But like Elon Musk himself was like, the thing that troubles me the most is the windshield wipers.
I hope they figure that one out. Just, oh boy.
Yeah.
I'll just leave it like that. Hopefully, I mean, I'm warming up to the Cybertruck. It looks crazy. It looks so weird. But you know what? It's going to definitely, like, turn heads.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to be like, is that from Halo?
But yeah, no. The Cybertruck has been modified slightly to be, you know, road legal.
Yes. So, well, and I've also seen a whole bunch of videos of, like, from like the from Boca Chica, from Starbase, of like different people driving Cybertrucks around there. So they're out there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So apparently the Model Y in 2022 had a whole bunch of features leak, including a all-in-one super horn for the Model 3. That's going to combine the horn, the alarm, and the loudspeaker into a super horn. I don't know what the purpose of a super horn is, other than to like instigate like road rage incidents. But I mean, is the horn really loud on a Model 3? I've never actually heard the horn on a Model 3.
EVs are notoriously quiet. Do they even have horns?
I don't know. I've never seen someone like honk the horn on a Tesla before. I mean, I imagine it has one.
Are horns required to pass, like, state inspections?
I don't know. EVs do have to have external speakers under the bumpers, though, to pass legislation. I'm sorry, to pass safety requirements, because EVs are so quiet. Let's see. Do-do-do-do-do. But, yeah, I just like the name Super Horn. I don't really know what it is, but,
Oh, wait, I think the podcast name should be just changed to Toot Your Super Horn.
Maybe. All right, so, Chevy?
Yeah, so, Chevy announced a new EV in 2023. It's gonna be the Chevy Silverado EV. Yay.
Oh, well, you seem more enthusiastic when you send it to me on Telegram.
Okay. Well, no, it's just, it's a really good thing for the environment. For your standard Chevy truck guy who drives a Chevy Silverado, buys a Chevy Silverado every 3-4 years.
Do people buy trucks that regularly? I thought yes. It was more like every, like, 10.
No, I know lot. Maybe that's a Texas thing.
I think that's a wealthy Texas thing.
Okay, it might be a wealthy Texas thing, but I know plenty of guys who buy a new F-150 or a new Silverado every 3 to 5 years.
I mean, I know some wealthy people like that, but most people typically don't necessarily need to own a truck anyway, or use a truck as their primary vehicle anyway. So
I actually work with several guys who I mean, fun fact, I'm the only person in my department that does not drive a truck.
They may also lease them as well, so.
Fair, but still, buying a truck or leasing a truck, there's still going to be that guy that buys or leases a truck every 3 to 5 years. And nothing you can say or do will change their minds about what the next truck they get is. And this is a good thing for people like them, because as long as it's a Chevy Silverado or Ford F-150, they'll take it, they'll drive it, and be happy.
Oh yeah, my uncle.
And if it's good for the environment, that's just a plus for the earth.
My uncle who works for a car company mentioned that their company can makes a really nice truck that's highly rated, but you have a lot of people that like they've already always watched Chevy, and they'll be like, "That's a really nice truck. I'll buy my."
But it's not a Chevy.
Well, I'll buy my significant other the SUV version of that truck. I'm going to buy a Chevy myself. So,
There's nothing you can say or do to get them to switch brands. Oh, but this is really good for like the average everyday truck owner that will buy a Silverado or an F-150 every couple years till the day they die.
Yeah, I think this is the very beginning of us like starting to reach like critical mass, probably in the next like 5 to 10 years. So.
Mm-hmm.
Between a bunch of different car companies getting on board and the infrastructure getting built out. So, yeah. So, all right, rolling into Googly news. Google is bringing Android games to Windows in 2022. Not Stadia, Google Play Games.
Why?
I don't know.
So and also, you sent me this article while I was in the middle of a robotics tournament this week. And I just assumed, okay, Google, Games, Windows, surely this is going to be Stadia, right? And forgetting to read the article later.
No.
Why is this not Stadia?
It's not. Well, you can already play Stadia games in a Chrome web browser for the PWA. So,
then this... Oh, God. Are we going to have a Google Games crisis just like the messaging mess?
Also, oh, not Google. Applications, not Google Play apps, just games. Also,
and of all the things that people would want to do on their PC, why games?
There's an entire group of Windows tablets that make more sense than Chrome OS tablets or and Windows make better like laptops. I don't know. Maybe they don't want to kill Chromebooks. Yeah, it's real weird. Apparently it's not going to actually use Microsoft's underlying Android system either. Google's developing their own subsystem.
Now I'm even more confused.
Yeah, they announced it during the Game Awards show, apparently, that I completely slept through, but that was their big announcement, was Android games on Windows in 2022. So, yeah, that was real weird, but I'm... okay. Next.
Next.
If you own an LG TV, you can now play Google Stadia games if it's running webOS 5 or later. There's a lot to unpack in that, but yes, LG TVs do run webOS, fun fact, and basically anything with a competent HTML5 web browser can play Stadia, so Stadia's coming everywhere. So, yeah, Stadia's still a thing. Three years in? How long has Stadia been out?
I don't know.
Oh, Stadia. Anyway... if you have a Google Pixel phone,
the Snapchat shortcut is here.
Yeah, for your lock screen. Yeah, you double tap on the back of the phone, it'll allow you to instantly start Snapchatting.
Oh, but don't forget, there is a new Snapchat filter that is Pixel exclusive called the Pixel Face. Like fun fact, my cat is sleeping on the floor next to me, and every time I say Pixel, he keeps looking at me.
Aww.
Like, why did Google have to name their product line after my cat?
yeah. Anyway, I mean, do you use Snapchat?
I don't use Snapchat anymore.
You never really use Snapchat, so maybe they'll let you map it. I guess a lot of people use Snapchat, because, like, I don't know about you, but Facebook has become, like, a wasteland now.
I don't even have the app on my phone.
Like, it's kind of devolved into Instagram for me. Like, no one ever posts any status alerts. So,
like, I don't think I've posted a status on Facebook in, like, 3 years.
It's been, yeah. I very rarely do it.
So. Like, and when I do, it's just I share other people's memes. That's it. I really only keep Facebook because I have to.
If I could, like, deprecate the Facebook app and just use, like, Messenger and Instagram, that's what I would do.
Mm-hmm.
All right. In other weird Google initiatives, Google TV adds more than 300 free channels to its live tab with Pluto TV.
TV is complicated.
It is. Have you ever used Pluto TV?
I have not.
I know people who use it. I have no idea what is on Pluto TV. Is it just like open source garbage? Oh, well, here's The Silence of the Lambs. That's kind of cool. That's a good movie. Hawaii 5-0. The PGA Tour. Oh, there's a 007.
Google TV users can claim up to 6 months of Peacock Premium.
Oh, okay.
When Peacock gives you access to originals, live sports, on-demand movies, and WWE programming.
There's a Baywatch channel.
Baywatch is in, beach stuff?
Yeah.
Okay.
The TV stuff of, David Hasselhoff. There's a Star Trek channel. There's a British drama channel. There's an entire Best of Dr. Phil. This is kind of there's a Price is Right channel. So it's like all of this TV that was available on your bunny years TV.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it looks like it's just reruns of all of that kind of stuff that you normally get over the air.
Maybe they should change it to bunny years TV.
I don't know. Interesting. I'll have to download Pluto and give Pluto a go. All right.
Okay.
Google has released its first Android 11 L beta.
Okay, so it is for large screen devices, so tablets or foldables or I don't know, other large screen devices.
So maybe Google is giving up on the idea that Chrome OS is going to be a tablet operating system and go, hey, we've had a really good tablet operating system for 5 years now. Is that what I'm reading from this? Hey, maybe people do want Android tablets. Maybe Apple's onto something with this whole iPad thing.
Maybe they're going to make something like iPad OS?
I think that would be really cool. I know a lot of people who begrudgingly buy iPads who are hardcore Android users.
That's part of the reason why I kind of want to get an iPad, other than I want AirPlay. But Android on tablet is just kind of eh. And there's a lot of things in Google Play is warning, this is not eligible for your device. This is not eligible for your device. Or, this can run on your device, but it's going to have really weird chunky bezels.
I hope this is Google's iPad moment, because I would love to see more competition in tablets.
According to the GIF, it says it's going to make it easier to multitask.
I like that. I wish you could do that on the iPad and have your little dock at the very bottom.
Mm-hmm.
I would do that all the time. So, there's one tablet right now looking around it, but I think that they're releasing this now, and I'm hoping we'll see some more some new hardware at CES later this next month, because please please get serious about tablets again. They're real cool.
Is this for tablets or is this for folding phones?
It's for both.
Okay, but I have a feeling that it's going to work really, really well on one thing and then kind of suck on the other.
A Samsung Fold is fundamentally a tiny tablet. So
mm-hmm.
I don't think it'll probably be good for tablets 7 to 10 inch, maybe 7 to 11 inches. But I don't think Google's interested in anything bigger than 11 inches for tablets. So. I think when you start getting into 12 and 13 inches, you get into Chromebook territory.
Hmm.
Chromebook 2-in-1 territory. So.
Well, see, that's what I'm thinking. Give me a 12 or 13 inch tablet, but it's just a tablet. I don't want a Chromebook. I don't want an attached keyboard. I just want the tablet.
Well, I mean, Android is Android, so there will probably be someone who makes a big dumb Android tablet, like the big dumb iPad Pro. But
come with my big fat Greek wedding. Can I have my big fat Android tablets?
Is Louis Vuitton Greek?
I think it's Italian. Why?
I was just gonna comment on these Gaudi watches. So, Louis Vuitton. No, it's actually French.
Louis Vuitton is French.
I knew that.
I did not. I just Googled that.
Yeah, well, Louis kind of gave it away.
Okay. So, Louis Vuitton is planning on launching another smartwatch. But it's not Wear OS?
Oh, no. I thought it was Wear OS. No, there's a custom built OS. This is garbage. I don't want to see it anymore.
Why are you so... Hold on. Wear OS, in and of itself, is kind of hot garbage. That's why I threw it to the curb.
Your next watch is going to be Wear OS.
Is it?
Yes, it is. Unless Apple randomly decides to support Android, which they're not.
I mean, what do you know? You've got me wanting an iPad, but if I buy an iPhone next.
I mean, I'm willing and able to
walk me through my multi-thousand dollar transition purchase.
Yes, and be your digital sensei as you make the transition to Apple Silicon.
Yeah, but like, I don't know. Wear OS kind of sucks right now. And I know they're like partnering with Samsung, and I know they're partnering with Fitbit and Fossil and all that. But like, we've had all these acquisitions and partnerships announced, but we do not have a concrete operating system or device yet that shows off all of these partnerships. And as of right now, Wear OS still kind of sucks. That's why I left the platform. So like, maybe Louis Vuitton having their own custom operating system isn't bad idea.
No, they're a jewelry company. They're not a software development company. But next story.
I don't know. Hold on. Because like the Huawei Watch and the OnePlus Watch also have their own software.
Which I also am not fans of.
Fair, but like, I don't know. Is this Wear OS growing pain, or is Wear OS slowly dying?
I think it's growing pains. I just don't like the idea of like my there's like so many cybersecurity reasons, and also like, is it going to work with anything? Is it going to connect to anything?
Well, yeah, I know. Just but
is it going to stop getting updates after a year?
As a lifelong Wear OS user, you don't understand some of the pains of Wear OS.
I mean, I don't have to be a user to see that, like, it's been dying. All right, so Among Us is getting a VR version.
Will this revive Among Us?
I was eating out today and totally heard some little kids playing Among Us.
Mm-hmm. Like, I know it's still talking among like little kids, but like, so I actually mentioned this in front of my like younger students, like so the fifth grade and up. Mm-hmm. They're like, "Ew, Among Us is so dead." And like, even my high schooler was like, "Yeah, that was a fad last year." So like, it's not popular among older, like preteens and teens anymore.
I don't know. I mean, but do kids?
And it's also no longer streamed.
I mean, do kids really play VR stuff, or is that like a high school and college level stuff? So could this be capturing a new audience?
Maybe. I'm curious as to what this does to the game.
It's going to launch on MetaQuest, PlayStation VR, and Steam VR.
Mm-hmm. Like, every time I see the word MetaQuest, it's like, what is this? And it's like, oh, wait, it's Oculus.
Yeah, that's so weird. Apparently there's going to be a Halo TV show next year.
Mm-hmm.
So, it looks shiny. It looks like they have lots of production value. Yeah.
And it will be on Paramount Plus.
Which I don't know what... I just, like, if I want to watch something, I subscribe to the service for a month, and I pay for it, I watch it, and then I cancel the service.
I do, too.
But I'm fine with that, because that means, like, the old way of doing things was, like, you just paid for all of the stuff that you never, like, scratched the surface of, so... Like,
yeah, that's my issue with all these new streaming services. Because, like, everyone has Amazon Prime, so Amazon Prime Video is a thing. Netflix, it's the OG, so everyone's going to keep Netflix, plus they do amazing originals.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was Hulu. And then it was... There's so many.
See, I funnel everything through the Apple TV app, so...
Oh, I don't use the Apple TV app for anything, except for unless I want to watch something on Apple TV+.
I've been using it more. I'm really hoping that next year, whenever Apple updates tvOS, that it seems like tvOS kind of like gets a big update and then it kind of like just like hibernates for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really hoping that with, like, next time they like really rev up tvOS, that they make the TV app the primary interface and force like Netflix and Hulu and Spotify into it.
See, no, I don't like that. I like having everything separate.
Oh, no. Well, have you used the Android TV?
Yeah.
Android TV does a really good job of this. So you still got the separate apps that you can launch, just like the Apple TV. But mm-hmm. if you want to, you can, like, pin an app, and it gives you this carousel of stuff you watch or suggestions. And the carousel is entirely optional. So if you want it to work like the Apple TV, you can. Or you can kind of have this, like, TV guide, like...
Yeah, I don't like the weird TV guide carousel. That's honestly kind of confusing.
I like that, just because you don't have to jump between the apps. So it's kind of like Android TV, like Google TV is, like, where I would like Apple TV to go, so...
Mm. No, I actually love how Apple TV works now, and I don't want it to change. I like how it is.
Hmm. We shall see. you're probably going to win out, because Apple TV slumbers. Alright, so, The Matrix Awakens has been released for the, PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X. It is not an actual game. It is basically a huge technical demo for Unreal Engine. What version of Unreal Engine are we on right now?
I don't know.
Is it 5?
I am not sure.
I'm thinking I'm gonna download it, but it looks pretty amazing. So it's really just a technical demo. You can walk around the city, and there's traffic and people and all of that. City's about 4.1 kilometers wide and 5 kilometers long. It's basically about the size of LA. Yeah, there are people walking around. It's just like a really cool technical demo in the Matrix universe. That kind of has like a look and feel to it. But yeah, if you want to like kind of like sample what next gen consoles can actually do, this is a good thing to download. So and what next gen is actually going to be, because of the chip shortage, like I feel like it's kind of like delayed the current gen right now. That they simply haven't been able to get consoles into people's hands, so.
The fact that somebody had to count the sewer holes.
Oh, I cannot imagine the survey work that has to be done for all of this.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, I thought that was cool. Cuphead, have you played Cuphead?
What is Cuphead?
Oh, Cuphead.
What's Cuphead?
It's like this game that's like looks like a 1930s like cartoon, like hand drawn cartoon, and it's incredibly difficult. So, and you can play co-op, so this may actually be something you and your boyfriend like to play. But yeah, it's getting its final DLC. That's all.
What platform is it on?
It's on a bunch of stuff. It is.
Is it before our time?
No. It came out just a couple of years ago. It's on Xbox, Switch, PlayStation 4, Windows 10, Steam, Google, and Mac. It's like an indie game. But it looks really cool, because it looks like a hand-drawn, like, almost like a Betty Boop cartoon, or like a Steamboat Willie cartoon.
Mm-hmm. The little cup people are cute.
The animation, like, I haven't bought it, because it's really, it is difficult, for what everyone's told me. It can be, like, real unforgiving. But, like, I just love watching it. It looks really cool to me, so. Mm-hmm. Maybe something you may want to check out. Maybe over Christmas break.
What break?
Christmas. Over the holiday seasons, Devin.
Listen, what break? I don't get a break.
Sorry.
At one I point get a we'll, weekend.
At one point, you two will have PTO.
Say, I only get a week.
It takes a while to build it up. I'm sorry. The first year is always the worst. Halo Infinite came out, the campaign. And I've been seeing a lot of people talking about Halo lately. It looks real shiny. Did you grow up playing Halo?
I did. Well, so I was actually not allowed to play first-person shooters growing up.
Too violent?
No, just my parents were anti-violent video games.
Yeah, too violent then.
Yeah, okay, fair. Too violent. Good point. I don't know why that didn't stick in my head. But then I got to like fifth or sixth grade and I got to play Halo at someone's house in someone's brother's room because I got forced to go to a sleepover that the entire class got invited to. And I ended up just hanging out with the birthday girl's brother the entire night.
Mm-hmm.
And got to play Halo, and I played Halo for like 6 hours straight. And then I ended up buying Halo for my Xbox 360 with my own money. And at that point, my dad was like, okay, whatever you want with your own money. So it was really my mom who was anti-video games. And when me and my dad kept going around, it was like, okay, my mom's rule is, okay, fine, no violent video games. And so... yeah, no, Halo is amazing, and in a world full of games that are very Fortnite-y, I'm glad to see this come back.
Yes.
Plus Master Chief's back.
Yes, I think everyone loves Halo. Even as someone who
Halo grew up is timeless.
Oh, I know, and the gameplay, it's just, like, super solid.
And you can make it whatever you want.
Yeah, and it's... now, I mean, they it is more modern from my understanding that, like, yeah, you can customize your Spartan, and they're going to be, like, seasonal events that you can have, like, tournaments, and, you know, I mean, it's going to be, like, a community that kind of evolves with time. So, yeah, I think it's really cool, especially with, like, Xbox game streaming now. I mean, if at CES Microsoft is like, hey, you can get this Xbox Series X dongle and an Xbox controller for $99 to play Halo Infinite, Microsoft would probably have $100 out of me very quickly. So, yeah, I wouldn't get, like, a full Series X for this, but, like, yeah, if there were, like, a streaming dongle for xCloud, I would greatly consider it, because, yeah, Halo is so much fun. Halo is, like, up there with, like, Smash Brothers in terms of, like just great party games. I can't tell you how many hours I wasted in high school and in college with, like, ordering pizza and playing Halo with friends, so.
Yeah, no, whenever we had video game parties after robotics tournaments, like, the only thing we played was Halo. And, like, I had a friend whose, like, subsequent move, like, the signature move was having a piece of pizza in his mouth while killing the entire party.
All right. Did you watch the trailer for Star Wars Eclipse?
I did, and I want it.
No word on the release date yet, but it takes place in the High Republic's saga. Wait, High Republic, that's episodes 1, 2, 3.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Yeah, because I was seeing some stuff from, like, episode 1, and I was like, what? Yeah, it's from Quantic Dream, and basically known for games like Heavy Rain.
Wait, no. High Republic is hundreds of years before that.
I thought that was Old Republic.
No. According to this article, High Republic is before the is hundreds of years before the Skywalker saga, in the golden age of the Jedi and the Republic.
Oh, okay. I guess that makes sense. Technology may not change, but
yeah.
Interesting. It looks cool.
What platform is coming? This coming out for? I'm not seeing anything where it says where. What platform?
Doesn't say, but to me that looks like a next gen game.
It does, and I mean, I forgot how much I like console gaming until you gave me your PS4. And I still play my Switch more often just because of portability. I'm never home. But when I have a chance to play my PS4, I love it. Mm-hmm. And when it goes obsolete, like my 360 did, like, I think I'm probably going to just pull the trigger and buy a PS5.
I've been very happy with my PlayStation 5. Again, I play my Switch more, but when I do play my PlayStation 5, I'm like, oh, I really like this. This is just a machine dedicated to gaming. It is fast, the controller is great, and the games look amazing and they're fun. So
it's really funny. Like, I always figured whenever I bought another console, it would be an Xbox because I grew up with, well, I grew up with PlayStation, but I also, like, more recently did Xbox because I had a 360.
Mm-hmm.
But then I actually don't mind PlayStation. So I think at this point, I may just get a PlayStation 5 for cross-compatibility between the 4 and the 5 games.
Yeah, I mean, your games will transfer over, and so will your saves. And then I like PlayStation because, like, the multi-platform games that I would play on Xbox are available on it, and then Sony has a lot of really cool exclusives. So, plus, the PlayStation 5 controller is amazing. Like, the 4 controller is good, but, like, oh, I love the controller in the PlayStation 5. It's like everything good about the DualShock 4, but, like, plus.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Final gaming story before we start rolling into kind of like the fast round, because I realize we're kind of going a little long with this one. The Analog Pocket is still going to be available on December 14th. A slightly higher price due to some component price increases to $220. But anyway, the Analog Pocket is like a Game Boy Color, like, portable game console that can play the actual cartridges from like Game Boy, Game Boy Color, and Game Boy Advance.
Mm-hmm.
And it has some other like modernizes. I think it's like including an HDMI dock. There's different adapters. I think it has like an AMOLED screen, obviously a backlight, rechargeable battery, a bunch of like creature comforts that we didn't have growing up. So this is the thing that makes me real sad that I got ripped off by GameStop as a preteen, like trading into like all of these classic games that are now classics that would be kind of fun to replay for like nothing.
Yeah, I still have my Game Boy Advance games.
It's like, oh, hey, here are 18 games you just traded in. We'll give you
$5.
$8 for all 18 games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I went from Game Boy Advance SP to a used DS Lite when the 3DS came out.
Mm-hmm.
And so it could play Game Boy games. And I played my DS Lite until college. Mm-hmm. And so I still have all those games.
Yeah, I like that this works with the physical one. It looks like it can play Game Boy, Neo Geo, Atari, and more. It doesn't do emulation. It actually runs the games like natively.
Yeah, that's cool.
I would kind of get to be, I don't know. I bet you can totally run emulator games on this, but the hardware looks really high quality too. Oh, this is cool. It has like original display mode. So like the modern display will set itself to have the same kind of characteristics as the original platform if you want it to.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and then we've got one more gaming story that was put in the wrong category. But I think Hobi finally needs to get on the VR hype train now.
You think so?
I do. This is Facebook's first stab at the metaverse, and it's essentially Roblox meets Oasis.
Like Oasis
from Ready Player One.
Okay, I don't know if you were making a Ready Player One reference or it was another VR thing that I just didn't know about.
No, I'm legitimately making or I'm actually reading directly off the Verge article, but yes, this is a Ready Player One reference. So it's called Horizon Worlds. And by the time the podcast is edited, people in the US and Canada can access the free Quest app without an invite.
The no legs thing, that just really throws me off.
Oh, it doesn't bother me.
That bothers me deeply. Maybe.
Yeah, go on.
Maybe over Christmas I will look at this.
Yeah, so it's Horizon Worlds lets you hang out with up to 20 people at a virtual space. And honestly, like, post-COVID, where you had to do birthday parties and Thanksgiving dinners over Zoom, I like this better than, like, it's the same concept of let's hang out virtually, but instead of via Zoom, it's interactive in VR.
Maybe.
Like, I could see this being fun to, like, hang out together and, like, do something for the evening instead of, hey, let's just get in a phone call or let's get on a Zoom call and chat. Hey, let's hang out and chat in a virtual world and play a game together. Like, you know. And the only real downside to it is that it's Facebook.
Right. I'll have to look into it. I'm curious. Alright, so let's do a lightning round real quick and then we'll do picks of the week because we gotta get going soon. Comcast, if you're a Xfinity Flex user, which means you have their internet and their little streaming box that they give you for free now, you can now actually subscribe to YouTube TV as part of a little box now instead of their actual Comcast TV.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was interesting. So you don't actually have to pick Comcast service. But anyway, Comcast is still Comcast, so I don't know if I trust them. But anyway, that's the thing. All right. You have a Fire TV. Amazon has rolled out a new smart home dashboard, which I kind of dig. I wish the Apple TV did this a little bit better.
Yeah, this is cool.
Like, the Apple TV has, like, that little thing that you hold the home button and you see all your HomeKit devices. I guess it's the same thing, but
honestly, Google needs to copy this for their smart home displays.
They already have that.
Yeah, but it doesn't look as nice as this.
Go check it next time. It's been updated recently.
I'll have to look at that.
Yeah, give it a go. They updated it probably about 6 months ago, so.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Twitter feature is coming out. You can now do content warnings, including like graphic content or nudity or violence. And I kind of want this. I'm okay with this, but I really want this for spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly when Marvel stuff comes out, so that like My better.
Oh, no, it was the worst when it was Game of Thrones. Like, I couldn't watch it 1 week until the next day, and, like, the entire episode was spoiled because I got on Twitter for, like, 3 seconds.
Yeah. So, I would like that. Reddit has a similar feature. I really appreciate that feature a lot. So, yeah. Also, Twitter purchased a new messaging platform called Quill to make direct messages suck less. Mm-hmm. It's a Slack-like platform that focuses around messages. So, theoretically, the Twitter direct messages in the future won't be hot garbage. So,
when you say hot garbage, what do you mean by that?
Maybe more interactive, faster, update sync state.
Oh, like okay, that. Not at all what I thought. See, I have no problems with the functionality of Twitter DMs. I have issues with the contents of Twitter DMs.
Oh, yeah, I can't help you with that. But maybe they will also give some more content moderation tools. So,
okay, maybe, because like I have zero desire for Twitter DMs to function faster. It's just like, can we get some content moderation? Men in 2022, can we stop sending photos of your junk to random women on the internet? Please and thank you from all women on the internet.
Okay.
I like rarely stream and I still get them regularly.
Okay, well, I'm sorry for bringing that up. Moving on to another topic, Twitter Spaces. You can now listen to recorded Twitter Spaces on iOS, Android, and the web. Man, poor Clubhouse. I mean, Clubhouse was like a thing for a minute, and like the only thing Clubhouse really had to do to survive was for Twitter to like not copy the feature. And what do you know? Twitter actually got its act together and copied the feature.
Mm-hmm.
So, I have not seen a Clubhouse link in like 6 months.
I haven't either.
Ever since Twitter rolled out the spaces, so.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever joined a Twitter space on purpose?
I have.
Okay. I have Casey, not.
Casey does it.
Casey Neistat?
Yeah.
Or Newton. Casey
Neistat from The Verge.
That's Casey Newton. Casey Neistat's the YouTuber.
Oh, I'm sorry, which guy has the glasses?
Are you thinking of Dieter?
No, he has the white glasses that are kind of scratched up.
Oh, yeah, that's Casey Neistat.
Neistat, yeah, no, it's Neistat and, like, Joanna Stern that I've joined their Twitter spaces before.
Mm-hmm.
So. All right, and then, last two stories.
Yeah, so. Discord is having premium membership now, which will let content creators monetize their servers. And you can subscribe to servers.
Which is good, because I've noticed a lot of like tech communities, like particularly for podcasts, are starting to get on this bandwagon. Twit has one, Mac Stories has one now.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, they're starting with 10 creators. And they'll slowly roll it out.
Hopefully this will make their life much better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really like this idea and cannot wait till I'm eligible. And Discord is being nice and only taking 10% of the payment. Mm-hmm. Versus like YouTube, which takes
30%. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Wait, what does YouTube do?
No, from channel sponsorships.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. For streaming. Gotcha. I thought, okay, so is this also include, like, streaming as well?
I don't know.
Like, can you, like, I know they were playing with the idea of, like, game streaming to Discord, but did that, like, ever become a...
No, I think you can game stream in Discord to YouTube and Twitch.
Okay, but not to Discord. No, you could. I mean, you can video chat in Discord, can't you?
You can video chat in Discord all the time.
But you can't game stream.
Oh, most people just share a screen. because it looks like a Zoom call when you're video streaming in Discord, but then when you're streaming like your game or whatever, it just pops up as a share screen and you can go and the share screen shows up as another person. You can just click it and watch their screen if you want to, and if you don't want to, you don't have to.
I feel like a game stream should have a little bit better integration. That feels like a hack right now.
Oh, no, it works great.
Oh, I mean, I feel like you could do it better other than just like another Zoom window.
Yeah, well, that's the only thing I could think of at the time, but no, it works great.
Okay. Interesting. All right. And then the very last story?
Mm-hmm. So apparently TikTok and Squid Game is making people want to learn new languages.
Mm-hmm. Duolingo said the top 5 languages learned this year include Spanish, English, French, Japanese, German, with Korean rising in popularity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, apparently between the pandemic and international entertainment, people want to learn new languages.
Yeah, because Korean pop TV is becoming a thing because of Netflix.
I mean, more like Korean TV right now is being amazingly successful because of Squid Game.
Mm-hmm.
And then, according to Duolingo, 40% of the surge in users are Gen Z, actually.
Interesting.
But, so it's really cool. So, 37% of lessons started in Spanish because they watched Money Heist. 28% wants to learn Korean because of Squid Game. And 20% wants to learn French because of Emily in Paris. Oh, and they just went public IPO in May.
Oh, I did not buy them. I consider buying them, but I don't know why I did not buy them.
And then they also just added their 40th language, Yiddish, in April. Maybe I should learn Yiddish.
Imagine there are other languages that are
more useful to me than Yiddish.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, Hoey, what is your pick of the week?
My pick of the week is a old but good one. Ghostery. With iOS.
You've done this like 3 times.
Yeah, but they keep updating it, so they did a VPN, I think, a year ago, and now they have updated their client for iPad and iPhone, because with iOS 15, you can now use like full-blown Safari extensions in the mobile version of Safari. So you get the full version of Ghostery with your iPhone and iPad now.
Mm-hmm.
So between that and LastPass, like, it's real nice using the Safari on the iPad Pro now.
Mm-hmm.
So I got several extensions and they're running all the time now, and it makes the iPad feel a lot more like a just more focused Mac.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. And just having Ghostery on your phone's browser is just super nice. So for those who don't know, Ghostery is it is a privacy blocker. Like, it can block ads, but like it's also a tool to tell you like what's running on a web page graphically. So like you can see all the different trackers and social buttons, and it's granular in the sense of like, hey, you can allow the ads to run and people still get paid, but hey, turn off the tracking and turn off the social buttons. So it's like a ad block is like a mallet for getting rid of ads, and this is more like a surgical tool. Plus, it's also really cool just because it just informs you about what's running on the internet in the background that you don't normally see. So, I found it a little bit more intelligent than Adblock, and because you have the extra little bit of the granular controls, if you ever hit a page that's like, hey, please disable your ad blocker, most of the time you can go, hey, just go ahead and run the ads, but turn off all the other stuff that I don't want, and it can, and it'll actually work. So, but yeah, that's Ghostery. You can get it at ghostery.com, and it's free for the extension.
All right. So my pick is the Razor Viper Ultimate, which is the one of like maybe three left hand friendly wireless mice on the market. And a couple months ago, I actually did a like a full blown like 20 tweet long Twitter comparison to the Logitech G903 and the Razor Viper Ultimate. Ultimately, the 903 won, but the Viper Ultimate is still a very nice mouse. It has the buttons on the right-hand side for your left thumb. And it is my work mouse. That way I don't have to use my my 903 at work and home and robotics. And so hopefully my extremely overpriced wireless mice will last longer than a year and a half.
Yes, because also buying another extremely expensive mouse.
Okay, granted, this mouse is also ridiculously expensive. It's only because it's a wireless lefty mouse.
We're going to call it the lefty tax.
Yeah. But it's very, it's a very nice mouse. It's wireless. It has minimal RGB. And it looks more like a traditional mouse than the 903, which is purely, obviously, a gaming mouse. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't look as gamery in my office like my keyboard does.
Probably get you like less like raised eyebrows.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and it comes in four different colors. So it's got black, razor green, razor pink, and cyberpunk yellow.
Oh, cyberpunk. I wonder if they'll... I guess this is going to be like The Witcher all over again, but they release the game, and it just... like, you know, they eventually patch it, and it becomes a good game. Like, 4 years after the game actually comes out.
Yeah, so if you get it from Razer, it is $130. It's $150 to come with a charging dock.
If you buy it from Amazon, it's $70 right now.
It is on sale for $70 right now. Regular $130. Which I actually got mine for $75, our random Amazon sale.
Well, if you're an Amazon Prime subscriber, you can also do the monthly payments. So you can break it into three monthly payments.
It's a great mouse. It's my second choice for lefty mice, but overall, I still do use this 40 to 60 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
So it is still a very nice mouse. And it's Razer, so you know it's pretty good quality.
Very cool. All right, where can we find you on the internet?
You can find me all over the internet. Online. On Instagram and Twitter at DevinJCR. And yeah.
I'm sorry, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Medium, all the social things. At Hobie Henning.
All right. Well, we hope everyone has a great Christmas. And until next time, stay safe, wash your hands, wear a mask in public, get vaccinated if you can, and stay curious.